Rebuilding the Ancient Ruins, Part 5. As we begin to see the United Kingdom rebuild itself after lockdown from the coronavirus pandemic, and life begins to rebuild itself again, we continue the theme of rebuilding in our devotions. And as we come close to finishing of rebuilding the gates and walls of Jerusalem, as recorded by Nehemiah, we're using the steps taken by Nehemiah to illustrate the steps we need to take to rebuild our lives if we've fallen away from God or circumstances have stifled our emotional and spiritual growth, bringing us to a place where we are ready and fit to enter God's presence. In this devotion, in following the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, we now come to the horse gate, spoken about in Nehemiah 3, verse 28. Which sits next to the east gate, the entrance into the temple. In most cases where horses are mentioned in the Bible, it is connected with battles, armies warring with one another. In the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus 7, we read how Pharaoh kept the Israelites in slavery. Then after 40 years of hard labor, Pharaoh let the Israelites leave Egypt, not before God sent 10 plagues. Pharaoh, having changed his mind, took up his army with horses and chariots and pursued the Israelites. Then, in pursuit, soon as they entered the Red Sea, which God had opened up for his people to pass through, again closed the water up again, and all the Egyptian soldiers and horses perished, as recorded in Exodus 15, verse 19. Then we turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelations, where we read about John the disciple and apostle of Jesus had a vision. John met Jesus, who described to John how in a day to come he will on a horse send out an army of angels into the world to do battle with Satan and mankind in this evil world before he sets up his righteous kingdom on earth to reign for 1,000 years. The horse gate symbolizes strength and readiness to battle with the evil forces we as Christians are constantly facing each day, and renewed strength ready to ride in triumph into God's presence. Whenever we see the mention of horses in the Bible, it is in battle. The one riding the horse will feel strong and courageous. It gives strength and confidence to the rider. Having put the past behind us, having reunited with our Heavenly Father, we will once again be in a good place with the Lord. We will feel strong and confident. We will know freedom and strength and joy. We will be eager and ready to serve the Lord and to be in a good place to triumphantly and confidently enter into his holy and righteous presence. In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, John had a vision of Jesus, who is described as the Lamb of God, as spoken about by John the Baptist, who showed him four horses riding into battle. In the vision, Jesus was revealing to John what was about to transpire in a day still to come. Jesus will come down to earth in power and strength to do battle with Satan and his opposing forces, to forever destroy them, and regain his power, setting up a new heaven and a new earth, which we with all God's faithful people will reign with him for eternity. We read in Revelation 6:1-8, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, Come! I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, Come! Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard a third living creature say, Come! I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, Come. I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Then in the last chapter, in Revelation chapter 19, we read about the end times final battle, which reads, After this, I heard the sounds like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power before our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, Amen. Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing water, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. At this I fell at his feet and worshipped him, but he said to me, Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe, dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in mid-air, Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and the mighty, of horses and of their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to wage war against the rider of the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophets who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs he had declined those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulphur. The rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. For the church, we are waiting for that great wedding with the Lamb of God, which we have just read about. We may die first when we know we shall be taken up into heaven, but we are waiting for that day preceding the great marriage of the Lamb, when Jesus will suddenly come in the clouds with great glory. We read in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18, For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. In closing our devotion, let us read what God promised the Israelites through Isaiah. Indeed, these words are true for us today. We read in Isaiah 58:11-18. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairers of broken walls, restorers of streets and dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. At this stage on our journey, having experienced God's transforming power in our lives, allowing him to renew and refill us with his love and power through the Holy Spirit, we're finally ready to enter into God's holy presence, illustrated by entering into the East Gate, the gate which leads us into the temple, which we will learn about in the next devotion.